Let us continue with song 194, 109-4.
Thank you.
your careful attention for Dick as he brings us the message, and also your silent prayers for him as well.
Thank you, Marvin. And thank the specialist for that beautiful hymn that we all love, and which is indeed what we all strive to accomplish in our lives, the leading of that spirit that will bring us safely home. We have chosen this afternoon as a text a portion of the 8th chapter of Hosea. Those of you who would like to follow, found on page 252 and beginning with the 38th verse. And we feel greatly the burden that is ours in being the first to address the reunion. And we do stand in need of your prayers that indeed those things which we have felt from the moment that Brother Marvin asked us or told us that we were scheduled to speak would be the subject that we would bring today. And we pray that we will indeed be able to bring the thoughts that were presented at that moment and in our study time since. We're going to begin with the 38th verse, and this is Abinadi speaking to those of King Noah's subjects and King Noah himself. And he begins to expound some of those things which we feel is appropriate and in tune with the mission of the Church of Christ today. And now I say unto you who shall declare his generation. And he's speaking of the generation of Christ. Speaking of his generation, to them, they were not fully aware nor understand of what he was speaking of. Abinadi, however, obviously was given that understanding, that though he had not physical seed, as we think of it, yet he had a generation. And going on, behold, I say unto you, when his soul has been made an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. And now what say ye? And who shall be his seed? Behold, I say unto you, that whosoever hath heard the words of the prophets, yea, all the holy prophets which have prophesied concerning the coming of the Lord, I say unto you that all those who have hearkened unto their words and believed that the Lord would redeem his people and have looked forward to that day for a remission of their sins, I say unto you that these are his seed, or they are the heirs of the kingdom of God. For these are they whose sins he hath borne. These are they for whom he hath died, to redeem them from their transgression. And now are they not his seed? Yea, and are not the prophets, every one that has opened his mouth to prophesy, that has not fallen into transgression? I mean all the holy prophets ever since the world began. I say unto you, that they are his seed, and these are they which have published peace. that hath brought good tidings of good, that hath published salvation, that hath unto Zion, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. And oh, how beautiful upon the mountains are their feet. And again, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of those that are still publishing peace. And again, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of those who shall hereafter publish peace, yea, from this time, henceforth, and forever. And behold, I say unto you, this is not all. For oh, how beautiful upon the mountain are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that is the founder of peace. Yea, even the Lord, who hath redeemed his people, yea, him, who hath granted salvation unto his people. For were it not for the redemption which he hath made for his people, which was prepared from the foundation of the world, I say unto you, were it not for this, that all mankind must have perished. And so we here are brought to understand what the publishing of peace, what the mission of the ministry, and indeed the church, not just the ministry, but each and every one of us have that responsibility of declaring to those whom we come in contact with the peace of which the Lord speaks. And I want to turn for a moment to John. And the 14th chapter for a bit of explanation of the peace of which he's speaking. It's not the thing that we normally think of as peace, just a cessation of war or of hardships. These are not the things that he came into the world to bring. But here at the near the end of the 14th chapter, the 23rd through the 28th verses. And Jesus here is answering some of the questions put to him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the words which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Yea, ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you loved me, you would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. He is speaking here of that peace, that comforter, that abiding spirit, which is ours, is a gift to us, when we have obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, when we have entered into the waters of baptism, and come forth cleansed of our sin, washed clean, and then had hands laid upon us for the receiving of the Holy Ghost, which is then to be a teacher, an instructor, a comforter, a solace for our soul in times of trouble, in times of rejoicing, and in times of our going forth to carry the gospel unto the children of men. And so we would stand to declare this peace unto you. And as I said before, not peace from the wars and the turmoil and the tumults of the world, but that which will give our souls comfort, which will give us guidance, which will give us understanding of the things that we must do with this life which He has given us, with this life for which He has laid down His life, that ours might become everlasting even as His. We look forward with great hope, many of us, all of us in the Church of Christ. I don't believe there's an exception to those, that time when He will come again upon the earth to bring equity and justice and freedom to all mankind. But our burden of thought in this evening or this afternoon is the things that we must do as a people to make preparation for that time, that He might come. And that time we look forward to of Zion, of the gathering of all mankind that will hear the gospel and adhere to it. The gathering of the saints can only come after we, you and I, have done the things that He has commanded of us that must be done in this, our generation, this day and time. And that, the beginning of that is righteousness. That's the cause of Zion. Without righteousness, Zion will never exist upon the earth. Without it, it cannot happen. But it will happen because He will raise up a people, if not us, who will adhere to the gospel of Jesus Christ and put it in their lives. And we hear many testimonies of Brother Don and Brother Jay and others who have been in that far south land of Yucatan, of the devotion of those people. We have witnessed it ourselves, as others of you have. And we are made to rejoice and wish with all our heart that we here in the United States could have that kind of zeal, that kind of enthusiasm for the gospel of Jesus Christ. But you know, there is more than them, not to exclude them by any means. But we are to carry that same gospel that was carried to them, which brought hope to them by these similar prophets of which we have just read here in Mosiah, who published peace even from the beginning of time and brought them down to our day and to our time. And it's now time that we of the Church of Christ fulfill that mission, fulfill that responsibility, that opportunity which we have received through faith, repentance, baptism, and laying on of hands, and as Paul said, laying not this foundation again, but going on to perfection. And what is that perfection? That we carry this gospel, especially first, or now that the, as far as I am concerned, the Gentile period has been fulfilled, to the house of Israel, beginning with the seed of Lehi and of Nephi upon this land, that they might indeed come forth and fulfill the responsibilities which they had. And it's an awesome responsibility. It's a terrible responsibility, not only for we who go forth, but of you, each and every one of you here today and throughout the Church of Christ, to support in prayer, support with your means, support with your understanding, or striving to understand the problems which those people have today. Well, they're different than the problems in Yucatan, those up here. in Yucatan, they were never moved off of their lands. They were more or less, to some degree, and yet not much, included within the concepts of that government. And Brother Don remarked, I believe it was at lunch, they can't understand the concept of a government caring for that people as they do to an extent in this land. But at the same time, those people were not driven off of their lands and scattered and peeled as the Lamanites have in this land, in which they've been moved to the very worst places that we could conceive, and with the effort, actually, and the hope the government had to annihilate the nation, the race, the nation. But that was not the plan of God. That was not his plan at all. It is not his plan today. And instead of committing genocide, they have come back. They're coming back today in great numbers. And if we do not want to become the recipients of the promise which the Lord also made to them, and we find it over in 3 Nephi in the 9th chapter particularly, that if this Gentile nation does not repent, and I'm not going to read it, you all have heard it, read it, I'm sure, many times. If this nation does not repent of those things and began to relieve all of that race, all of the seed of Lehi, of the burdens which have been laid upon them, then they will be as a young lion in the flock. They will go through and tread down and tear in pieces this nation. And we say, oh, this can't be. Don't ever believe it. Don't ever believe it. If the Lord said it can or it will happen, you can believe it will happen. Sodom and Gomorrah did not believe the prophets that went among them of Lot. But it happened. We know it happened. The prophets, Samuel, was not believed in his day either. But when the Lord said that he was going to bring destruction upon that nation, even though they be the seed of Lehi, they didn't believe it, but it happened. And they suffered greatly. They did not believe in the coming of Christ to this land, but it happened. And believe me, there is not a prophecy in either of these two scriptures that will not be fulfilled. There is an out for you and I of receiving that condemnation if we will but obey the things that he has called us to do. And among them, and chiefest to the Church of Christ, as the carrying of this gospel to the Lamanite, every one of them that we can reach. And that is the burden of our thought and message this evening, this afternoon. And I want to turn back now to the seventh chapter of Mosiah for a moment, page 245. And read here a few verses. This is still Abinadi speaking, prophesying unto this people also. And he repeats much the same as we had read, and yet a little differently. I'll be to throw upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, and that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, Thy God reigneth. The watchman shall lift up the voice, which the voice together shall they sing, with the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion. Break forth into joy, sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord hath comforted his people. He hath redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord hath made bare his arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. And here Abinadi speaks as though this had already happened. And yet it had not happened. It has not yet happened. But it will happen. And the watchman will stand and declare these things upon this land, as well as upon the land of Jerusalem. And we must recognize that call. It is going out from the church today, not just by me, not just by Don or Jay, but from many of the ministry that are carrying this message. Hugh and Jim, off up in the northeast, are carrying that message. Jay and or Joel and Ken and others from Phoenix are bringing that message up every month to the Navajo Nation and others whom they can contact as they come. And yet this is not enough. We must be more diligent, more a greater force to bring that message, because there's many, many more upon the face of this land than the Navajo and the Mohawks and the few that are being contacted there, the Cherokees. These are not all of the Lamanite nations that must hear this gospel of Jesus Christ and be given the opportunity to obey it. But as Christ said also, how can they know except they hear? And how can they hear except there be a preacher? And how can they preach except they be sent? And we must be sent. We must send forth those ministers into the gospel, into the field, which even back in 1830 we were told by Revelation that the field was already white, ready for harvest. Oh goodness, if it was white, ready for harvest, then how much grain had been wasted and trampled underfoot? That should have been harvested and put in the granary, into the storehouse of God, to be nourished and strengthened. We must arise up in this day and in this time, and with all our efforts, with all our resources, carry this gospel to this land, that it might also go from there to the nations of the earth. As other prophecy has said, that it would cover the earth as a blanket. Oh yes, I believe that. I believe that with all my heart. That it's not just this continent. It is not just the Western Hemisphere, but it's every nation upon the face of the earth. And Christ, and God, and His great wisdom scattered the house of Israel upon all those places, without exception, I believe, because He said that He would bless the nations of the earth through them in that way. And I want to turn now to 3 Nephi on page 658. And beginning with the 45th verse. Read a few verses here. And this is not some ordinary prophet speaking. And when I say ordinary, I don't in any means degrade a prophet. A prophet is a chosen instrument of the Lord. But here, this is a special prophet. This is the Lord Jesus Christ himself speaking and prophesying to this people. Now when the multitude had all eaten and drank, behold, they were filled with the Spirit, and they did cry out with one voice and gave glory to Jesus, whom they both saw and heard. And it came to pass that when they had all given glory unto Jesus, he said, saith unto them, behold, now I finish the commandment which the Father hath commanded me concerning this people, which are a remnant of the house of Israel. Yea, ye remember that I spake unto you and said that when the words of Isaiah should be fulfilled, and we have all studied more or less, I hope more than less, the words of Isaiah, in which our day and time and the fulfilling of the gospel in this dispensation is covered from beginning to end. Behold, now I finish the commandment which the Father hath commanded me concerning this people, which are a remnant of the house of Israel. Ye remember that I spake unto you and said that when the words of Isaiah should be fulfilled, behold, they are written. Ye have them before you, and you do. You have them here, and you have them here in the Book of Mormon as well, much of them. I have to find my place. Said that when the words of Isaiah should be fulfilled, behold, they are written, and ye have them before you. Therefore search them. And verily, verily, I say unto you, that when they shall be fulfilled, then is the fulfilling of the covenant which the Father hath made unto his people, O house of Israel. And then shall the remnants, and notice this is plural, not singular, the remnants which shall be scattered abroad upon the face of the earth, not just the face of the American continent or the American continents, but the face of the earth, be gathered in from the east and from the west and from the south and from the north, and they shall be brought to the knowledge of the Lord their God, who hath redeemed them. And the Father hath commanded me that I should give unto you. Now, he's speaking to that particular seed, descendant of Nephi and of Lehi, as far as that's concerned, because at this time they were a mixture, and again joined together as one people. Give unto you this land for your inheritance. And I say unto you that if the Gentiles do not repent after the blessings which they shall receive after that they have scattered my people, then shall ye which are a remnant of the house of Jacob go forth among them, and ye shall be in the midst of them, which shall be many, and ye shall be among them as a lion among the beasts of the forest, as a young lion among the flocks of sheep, who, if he goeth through, both treadeth down and teareth in pieces, and none can deliver. This is a true and a faithful prophecy. It's found both in the Bible and the Book of Mormon. And those who would divert our attention from this mission by the idea that British Israel has fulfilled this are in grave danger of the prophecies. Because this land was given to this people to whom he was standing in front of and before and in the midst of. This is their land. Oh yes, those from the continents of the world, if they will come in and obey the gospel, the full prophecy, then yes, we Gentiles will become Israel by adoption. Yes, I believe that with all my heart. But in no way does that transplant or replace the promise which he made here to this people. And how are they to come into to this covenant again? And I say again, because they lost it because of their transgression. As the early church of Jerusalem lost it by apostasy and the bringing in of those adulterous doctrines. Oh, not just foreign doctrine, but it literally was adulterous in the literal sense of the word. As we see abroad in this land today, it is not just the word slips me. Sex between men, women, and women. It's sex in any form outside of wedlock. There is no way that this nation can excuse any act of sex. And I know this is becoming a very strong issue in the world today, not only in this nation. We find teenage girls, teenage boys, as well as adults, living together as though husband and wife, and yet not in that legal status that the Lord has provided. Promiscuous in every form. Oh, AIDS is only one of the many curses that the Lord has put upon that condition. It basically affects those participating in it, if I understand correctly. The passing it on to children is basically in the process of actual birth. But other forms of venereal disease deforms the fetus. And this is even a greater curse as far as I'm concerned. Not in the least justifying the other. But as we speak of these things, we should speak of the whole household or the whole gamut of adultery and fornication and those things that are sinful before the Lord. He said that he rejoiced in, well, that's not exactly the word, but the same meaning, in the chastity of women, but I say also in men, and he said also in men. We think that only because it shows in a woman that the man is free and escapes condemnation, not for a moment, not in God's eyes. When they stand before his judgment bar, they will be equally condemned. And never let it be thought otherwise. And these are only a part of the things that are to be repented of. The other things that he's speaking of here, of this Gentile nation, they were seekers of pleasure. And this is the thing he was speaking of. But also of the possessions of the Lamanite. We began on the East Coast and we virtually eliminated them from almost everything east of the Mississippi River. With only a few isolated places, we took from them everything we could take. Can you imagine that a trinket no more valuable than this, probably less valuable than this, bought the whole island of Manhattan and Long Island and New York? And we didn't stop there. We only learned that this was the way to go about it. These two are sinful in the sight of God. When we go down, or the merchants go down, the traders go down on the reservations, and for $80 we'll purchase a Navajo rug that would cover that table two or three times, which represents for most of them 2 or 3 weeks work. $80. Not much more than they'd get in Yucatan, right, Don? For a week's work, 2 weeks' work, maybe a little more. And then they go out and sell it upon the market for $700, $800, $1,000, $1,500, $3,000. We're doing them a great favor by taking the merchandise off of them.
Yep.
No. If the Lord was unhappy with the money changers at the temple in Jerusalem, how much more unhappy is he with our transactions as a people? Oh, you and I do not trade in that. But this is no better than the slavery that was brought upon this country from the African nations. And that was condemned, is condemned, should be condemned, should be outlawed, was outlawed. So should these others. Usury, unfair profits, unfair gain. This nation rose up in turn of the century against the sweatshops, when children 7, 8 years old were taken out of school and put into the factories and given only a pittance. And it took everybody in the household to eke out a small living, a minor living. These are the things that will change when we are converted to the Church of Christ, to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not just, and I don't say just with any reflection either, the Church of Christ. These things must change in our life. Because if they don't, we are not going to be numbered among the righteous. No matter how many times our name may be
inscribed upon the rolls of the Church of Christ, or how long they've been there, or how many offices we may have been ordained to, or how many times our name appears upon the Sunday school record, or other records, or our tithings, or whatever else. First, we must change our basic thinking of what is right and wrong. As the prophet said, in all your getting, get understanding, not just wisdom. Wisdom is one of the things that being used in the world today to fleece not only the Indian people, but you and I. You and I. Wisdom of the proper kind. But knowledge, knowing the truth. Christ said through his prophets that knowledge will make you free. Knowledge will make you free if you follow the knowledge that you gain through the gospel of Jesus Christ. To remake our lives, to remake our hearts, to remake our thinking, that we become, as Abinadi here, as he was declaring over there a little further than where we stopped reading, they could not lay their hands upon him. Noah said, King Noah said, destroy him, take him and take his life. Destroy him. And they went to take hold of him and they could not. And his countenance so shone with righteousness, brothers and sisters, that they could not lay hand upon him until he had finished the work that the Lord had sent him to do. Oh, what he must have gone through to obtain such humility and meekness in the eyes of the Lord, and been worthy to have so prophesied and so testified that he stood before King Noah, at that time known as one of the more wicked of the kings of that nation, of that people, and told him of his sins. Yes, the prophets of the Lord in this day will stand in like manner one day. Kings will shut their mouths. The learned will also shut their mouths, for that which they had not heard, they shall hear. We're told that we are to become the mothers and the fathers of this people and carry them upon our shoulders. We become sucking mothers and fathers unto them. What does that mean? That means nourishment. Not only spiritual, but the other things that they need too. The things that are needed must be provided. Oh, yes, we say, oh, but they're a derelict people. They're drunks. They're this. Let me tell you, there's a lot of them out there that are not. A lot of them out there that we contact, and others who come up there regularly contact and see. They're looking for the gospel of Jesus Christ in its simplicity, in its plainness. Not as it's been carried to them before. And as we sat in the business office of a former bishop of one of the churches that represented out there of the Restoration just a couple of weeks ago, maybe a little longer, he said, when I first joined this church, I believed the gospel. And they taught us that we were to become the root of the church. The peoples of the church. We were to become influential in the ministry. He says, now they call us dirty Indians. They're casting us out of their churches. They're removing us from their ministry. Or if we don't go with their program, which is to be de-elevated in the church, then our only alternative is to resign, which he had done, he and his wife. He's studying the Church of Christ. And he's not the only one. There are others, a number. And I'm sure that if we, and the time we have been there, and those from Phoenix have contacted that many, that there are many, many more in like circumstance. Almost everyone we contact out there through the booth are either dissatisfied RLDS or LDS members, former members. Because when they got deeper in to that religion, it was not what they had been led to believe. Sister Varma and I sat in the home of a very dear lady here a week or so ago, who has had for some time a very bad shoulder and neck condition. Her mother, in her late 80s, is a sheep herder, and she has a game leg. But her mother was gone, and we felt inspired of the Spirit to tell her concerning administration for the sake. And we taught her there for, possibly an hour and a half, 2 hours. And we told her that this was available to her. And she said, do it. I had explained to her that there was no fee from us like their medicine men require. Oh, you pay them a good lump sum for their services. She didn't have the money. I told her she needed no money. We administered to her. And then that prayer was our desire that she would have the testimony of the truthfulness of the gospel of Jesus Christ, along with the healing. When we got up the next morning and went in, our dear sister was not complaining about her shoulder or neck as she had been. But she still didn't think that she had been fully healed. And I'm asking you to remember with us our sister Sue, one of them, Nika, that she will have that testimony, that she will have the full healing that she wants. There are others there in like manner. 1990, I administered to two young students, high school students, who their mother wanted them to be more effective in their schoolwork. And I give the Lord the praise for these blessings that have come. The one girl, the oldest girl, graduated with the highest honors in her class. the boy settled down. He was hyperactive. He will graduate this next year. These testimonies are needed among that people, that they might believe that the promises that we of the ministry bring to them are true, because they have been built by every denomination on the face of the globe, just about, and every one of them failed them miserably. Their children are being molested just as others are out in the world by ministers of the gospel, by teachers in their schools. We must go with clean hands for the clean gospel, without the hierarchies and layer after layer of paraphernalia and ceremonies that these other churches have. That was one of the things that heartened this former bishop, as we spoke to him the other day, that is, those of us who were there, that we didn't have those encumbrances. It was simple, and it was the way he understood the scriptures as he had studied them and restudied them. This is the gospel that we as a people must take. We must send through the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, through the Holy Ghost inspiring us. It's not easy. It is not a vacation, as some may think. It's hard work. The devil is at work opposing us. Not only me, but the others that go. Not only to them, Don, Jay, others that have gone to Yucatan, tell us of their experiences. You know, how would you like to be in their little camper and have a contingent of Uzi packed gorillas come through your belongings? We haven't had that yet. Our prayers are with them. I know from my own father's testimony and others, Brother Gates, who've been there, it's not easy. But the rewards of knowing that we're doing the Lord's work is the reward, and all the reward I want. And in that, I want to bring the closing reading from the fourth chapter of John. Yes. Fourth chapter of John, and the 34th and the 38th verses, through the 38th verses. Jesus said unto them, "My meat." And the disciples had come to him after he had been for a long time without eating food. And they were pressing him to eat because he needed the nourishment. And this is his reply. Jesus said unto them, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true. One soweth, another reapeth. I sent you to reap that wherein ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered in to their labors. If not, yes, sir.
We'll have supper at 5:30 at the reorganized church down there. Then song service here at 7, and preaching at 8 o'clock by Brother Jay. Are there any other announcements that should be made? Let us turn to song number 345, 345, for our closing song. Let us stand. Thank you for thy many blessings upon us, Father. Thank you for the time that we have had here. And help us, Father, to hold to that rod of iron and keep thy commandments. Help us to be a light to the people around us. And help us, Father, that we might also have a desire to bring souls unto thee, that they may give thee the honor and glory that is due unto thee. be with thy people and bless the house of Israel wherever they be. And I would ask thy blessings upon us here as well. Now I do pray for these things in Christ's name. Amen.